You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have back with me Lobo Tigre. Well, that may be a name that most of you are not familiar with, but the pen name of Lobo Tigre is familiar to you. His name is Louis James, but his real name is Lobo Tigre, and he now is working on his own, and he's using that name, and I'm very happy to have him back. Thanks for joining me again, Lobo.
Thank you, Jay. It's great to be back on the show.
It's really good to have you, and I should mention that you've had a remarkable background, a career with Doug Casey, the legendary investor who I know and like very much as a person. You worked with him from 2004 to 2018, and you've had a really good track record. You mentioned here that the average yearly gain published for the flagship Casey publication, the International Speculator, was 18.5%. And you are offering people who might want to make sure that you're not pulling their leg. You're offering them the ability to document for them if there are any doubters out there. I personally don't doubt you. I've known you for a number of years, and I've always known you as a straight shooter. But in the event there are some people that would like to check you out a little more, how can they sign up for your letter? How can they learn to know more about you?
Well, I appreciate such a wonderful question, Jay. So the quick answer is the website is Independent Speculator. Obviously, I learned from Doug Casey, the International Speculator, and I'm doing something similar now on my own. But it's called the IndependentSpeculator.com, and you can find out all about this. But I want to stress something on what you just said. The 18.5% was an annual gain. Like, if you look at the published gains in the newsletter on each year and you average them, obviously, you know, people wouldn't sell on December 31st and buy on January 1st every year. So it's sort of a theoretical gain. But those are real numbers. You know, that's what they published. And people who want to question that can find that in the Casey archives. I don't have access to that now because I don't work there. So I want to stress that, too. The pledge, though, about the transparency and the openness is going forward. And I am putting my own money into the trades that I'm writing about, and I am fully documenting that. For subscribers, you'll see screenshots of my orders to my broker and, you know, what price, what time, you know, what shares, how much I put in. It's all there, completely documented for my readers.
Okay, and the website they should go to is what?
IndependentSpeculator.com. I know it's a mouthful, but you know that's what we do.
That's pretty easy. IndependentSpeculator.com. Excellent. All right. Well, I know you're focused on natural resources and mining stocks in particular, but could you comment a bit about your investment strategy? What is your primary focus? Is it the precious metals, base metals, energy, or what?
Well, as an independent speculator, my goal is to look for hockey sticks. My goal is to make money. And I have to say, at my stage in life right now, I'm more focused on wealth generation than wealth preservation. And I'm aware that those are different things, and different readers will have different goals, which can be addressed. But, you know, so I'm basically willing to go anywhere I feel highly confident that I can generate the kind of returns that I'm looking for. And so I am looking to diversify into the tech sector and various different areas where I feel that I have some knowledge I can bring to bear. But what you're saying, and going back to my history, it's absolutely true. The bulk of my experience is absolutely in the resource sector, particularly metals and mining. I'm not sure I really count as an honorary gold bug because I'm perfectly happy to invest in other things. But I am bullish on the precious metals. I mean, we live in such a topsy-turvy world these days. I mean, just look at the whipsaws that we've seen in the markets, the broader markets this year. I think it's very interesting, now that you bring it up, you know, that gold is under pressure right now while we're seeing increased volatility. To me, that's a screaming opportunity. But I'm also looking at other things. And I'm going to be very patient with this, Jay. I have to tell anybody who's even thinking about it that I'm not promising to have a great idea every month. Every newsletter is not necessarily going to have some new pick. Because honestly, you can't have a great idea on a schedule. And I'm putting my own money, you know, into this alongside my readers. And I'm just not going to do it unless I'm absolutely convinced that this is a great idea. That's the criteria. Not a good idea, not a good enough idea. Certainly not an okay idea. This is a great idea, and I want to put my money into it.
So that's the
guideline.
So you may be somewhat, I guess you're going to be very selective then, which means probably fewer names for people to spend time trying to understand, right?
Yes, and you know, maybe that's a selling point. I had quite a large portfolio, and I had help. You know, I had people that worked with me to help me stay on top of it. And I actually heard from readers from time to time, well, it's too much. I can't keep track of all these. And I tell them, well, but you don't have to buy all of them. You know, some of them are producers. Some of them are explorers. You should pick the ones that work for you. And no matter how many times I said that, I still got that same pushback. Oh, there's too many. So I started having a top picks list that had, you know, maybe half a dozen or 10, you know, maximum top picks. And people like that a lot. So maybe that's the model. Instead of having a sub-portfolio of top picks, you just don't buy anything unless it's a top pick.
In looking at some of the names that you shared with me that you like that are common with what I have in my newsletter, it seems as though it may be that you're a bit more upmarket than I am, or maybe that's just my impression. Maybe it's just the names that we have in common, and I want to get you to talk about some of those in just a minute or so. But
sure,
would you say that because you are a speculator, so you know, I mean, we're looking at names like, Kirkland Lake, for example. It's a very good company. I think you're looking at Sprott. You're looking at Osisko, things like that. But these are companies that, you know, have bigger market caps than many of them that are on my list. For example, Skeena Resources, I think, is a company that you may have visited. Is that one that you've got your eyes on by any chance?
Sure, I understand the question. Let me address the idea first, and then we can talk specifics as much as you like. You know, what you're putting your finger on is basically, I guess the technical way of saying this is exploration sucks. But it's, you know, that's a technical term.
Yes.
But that's where the 10-baggers are, right? We love those 10-baggers, those stocks that go verticals, you know, the Novo Resources last year or Gold Quest a few years ago, you know, when somebody makes an exciting discovery and the stock just goes nuts, right? And exploration does that like nothing else. But it's really hard. It's very hard to predict. And you have to cast a very wide net to catch this. So I'm not out of exploration. I'm not saying I'm not there. But given what we were just saying about being highly selective, I'm being very, very careful. And I'll say that as sort of a rule, I'm more interested in the prospect generators that have a large portfolio of prospective projects and have other people's money paying for the exploration. When you have joint venture partners, you know, putting all that high-risk capital into holes in the ground that could come up with nothing, that's just the most sensible way to balance risk and reward. I like that model a lot. So I am looking for exploration plays. I do not have one right now that's like that, prospect generator that could, you know, go from a couple pennies to a few dollars. But I'm thinking about that. Of the ones you mentioned, you know, the bigger companies, those are all just exceptional companies. And if you're bullish on the underlying resources, then those are relatively safer ways to go. And in between, something you didn't mention is something I'm very keen on is what I think of as the pre-production sweet spot. When I wrote about this in my KC Research days, we called it the golden runway. You know, the marketing guys are always asking me to come up with some clever way of saying things. But now that I'm on my own, I'm just, you know, plain talk. This is the pre-production area where people are going to build their first mine. And my research has shown that, you know, and I've back-tested this extensively, is that the gains in that time space are much more than most people realized. It's on the order of a double, like between the construction decision and the first pour of that gold bar or copper cathode or whatever it is. The average company making that transition from nothing to production and cash flow typically doubles. And And here's the amazing thing is that most companies that start building mines succeed. I mean, that may sound like a no-brainer. Of course they do. A bank's not going to lend them a lot of money if they don't think they can build the mine. But what I'm saying is that there's this little slice of the resource sector where you can get both exceptional gains and high odds. That's why I call it the sweet spot. I love that. And so Skeena that you mentioned is not quite there yet. You know, they don't have a construction decision, but it's developing past producing mines. It's finding, you know, it's succeeding on the exploration front. It's no longer, in my view, a question of is it really an explorer. They have something of merit for sure now at SNIP, and I think they're going to have something at Eske, the other project, because both of these are known. You know, it's not a question of is there gold there. The old timers that mined them in the past left high grade gold behind because they had extraordinarily high cutoffs. And we're getting too much into detail on one pick. What I'm saying is that I can see this as being one of these pre-production stories in very short order because of where they're starting. So it's not a typical exploration play. Mm-hmm. And if you want to discuss any of the others, if you can, I love Kirkland Lake as an example. That was one where I got in early. Mm-hmm. I got in when it was new market, when they had just started trading. And I had heard about the Crocodile Gold story. They bought these assets in Australia, and they were just really good operators. And it looked like an interesting story. And I went and I looked, and this is a hallmark of what I do. I like to go and kick rocks, as the geologists say, at the exploration projects or the mines in question. And I was very impressed by what I saw of the assets down under, in particular the Fosterville mine. Mm-hmm. I saw high-grade mineralization, not just in narrow veins, but like, you know, broad, you know, several meters wide, to up to 10 meters wide in areas where they had this high-grade mineralization that they were tunneling through that wasn't in the model. It wasn't, you know, it's going into the plant, even though they haven't drilled it off yet, because it's just there. It's on their way to where they were going.
Yeah,
so amazing. It was really obvious that this was going to over-deliver. And it did. And it just keeps going. That just keeps getting better and better.
Oh, I know.
So that was a 10-bagger for me. And, it's still a great company. And Fosterville is still a star. And if you're bullish on precious metals, you know, this is a company that should be a cash cow for the whole cycle and should get a lot of attention.
Oh, I believe so. And it also has some interest in North America as well, and some of
the merger and they bought Canada's then highest grade producing mine and so on. So there's a lot more to it.
Oh yeah, but, absolutely.
You know, great, great, great company. You know, pulling back to the even bigger picture, you mentioned mm-hmm. Sprott.
Yeah.
And it's not your typical, you know, little junior that I would invest in as a speculator hoping for a hockey stick. But you're basically backing Rick Rule there, and that's a really good bet.
Yeah,
you know, it's one of those people you just don't want to bet against.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
And Sprott gives you exposure to just about everything in the resource space. You know, it's hard sometimes to find a great cobalt play that say isn't in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, or something that gives you nickel or some other thing that you're looking for. You may not necessarily find something that makes the grade as, wow, this is a great speculation. But you get all of that. You know, you get Rick Rule and you get the whole resource sector in one stock. So if you're bullish on resources, if you think we're going into a major, you know, lasting secular bull, which I do, then something like Sprott is kind of a no-brainer.
Now, Louis, I have to ask you also, you mentioned technology. You're interested at least in part in technology stocks. I see that Sprott has picked up or has made an investment in Emergent Technology Holdings LP. It's an equity investment in a gold-related blockchain technology. Have you followed that at all? And if so, would you have any comments about that and what that might mean for Sprott?
Yeah, that platform is called Tradewinds. And it's a really interesting offering. I have to say, I'm a technophile, and I love technology stuff. And you know, I want to build rockets like Elon Musk. I want to do so many things. But that doesn't mean that I'm a tech expert. It's something that I've watched, but I've developed my expertise in another area. So I'm being very cautious here, and I'm not ready to jump into anything immediately. And the Sprott platform. You know, one of the big pluses is just that it's Sprott related. And I know that those people are really smart and they'll make sure that there's a good product there. But there are other ones out there, and I'm not ready to pull the trigger on one or the other. I got to be honest with your listeners. You know, I haven't decided that that one or the other one is the best one. But something that combines gold and blockchain seems like an idea whose time is come or coming. You know, you have the flexibility and the distributed ledger power of that whole idea, plus something solid behind it. You know, one of the problems with the whole, you know, Bitcoin and all the cryptos is, yeah, but, you know, they don't actually exist. They're just ledger entries. If you can get the best of both worlds, right, the historical backing of the world's longest running, most successful form of wealth preservation, gold, and combine that with the power of blockchain or distributed ledger in general, and facilitate payments and do all kinds of things that these technologies allow. I mean, that's a very clearly a great idea. What I'm not ready to say yet is, you know, which is the one that I want to put my money into, which is the one that's going to be my pick in this space. But it's something I'm very closely looking at.
Well, fair enough. And one way to play it then would be through Sprott, I suppose, a cautious way of playing it. Louis, with just about a minute left, that's a minute, maybe we can push it to two. I should mention to my listeners that I think Marisol Resources is one project generator that you are keen on. No, it's not a penny stock right now, but it's certainly one I like a lot. And then I would like you to comment perhaps on Dynacore Gold Mines, which is one that I picked up many, many years ago at, I don't know, was it 16 cents or some ridiculously low price.
Yes.
They've been a good, consistent cash flow producer, but not very exciting. The share price has been sort of a laggard. They do have the Tumi Pampa exploration prospects. And I always reasoned that if they could fund that through internally generated cash flows, I mean, they have a mere less than 40 million shares out for all these years because they just keep doing things the honest way. They make money and they finance things that way. But what are your thoughts on Tumi Pampa? One of the things that concerns me is this is not an exploration company. It's not a company that has exploration expertise. So I would just, with a minute left, could you just perhaps comment on Dynacore Gold Mines? From that perspective, or anything else you care to say about that.
No problem, Jay. But I can say something about Mirasol easy and quick because, yes, they have multiple projects, and this is swinging for the bleachers. These are big, big projects. They're looking for major copper gold, as is typical systems in the Andes there. If they hit on those, it will be huge. And I'm very bullish on copper as well as being one of the new energy minerals. So I like that mix. Precious metals, energy minerals, swinging for the bleachers, and great people in Mirasol. Mm-hmm. Dynacore, as you say, it may be just sort of the ugly stepchild of the gold mining business. People don't understand it, don't get it. But this company made money throughout the worst of the downturn from 2011 to 2015. That may be all you need to know. Mm-hmm. And if there's exploration upside at Tumi Pampa, who knows? Maybe they monetize that instead. Maybe they get, you know, lucky in the next round of drilling, they discover something. It's pure free upside, whatever they do with it, because the company's making money and they're growing. They have pre-permitted 20% expansions they can do three times. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that amounts to a substantial increase. And their production, you know, pseudo-production, they process for other people. It's all very, very high grade. So you have a moneymaker there that has potentially a surprise upside, but growth on tap no matter what. So, yeah, I like it.
All right. We'll have to leave it go at that, Louis, or I should say Lobo. I'm going to have to get used to calling you Lobo. Lobo Tigre, thank you so much for being with us, and we'll look to do it again sometime in the near future.
Sure thing. Thank you, Jay.
All right. All the best. Well, folks, don't go away because coming up next, Jeff Deist, who is the president of the Mises Institute, formerly Ron Paul's chief of staff, will be with us to talk about how much longer can guns and butter diplomacy last. We'll be right back with Jeff Deist.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Noble Resources Corp. trades on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under NVO. Its flagship assets are located in the Karratha region of Western Australia, where they are currently drilling and trenching their Perdes Reward Project. In addition, Novo has partnered with Sumitomo Mining Corporation to advance its Beatons Creek Gold Project toward production. With over $70 million in cash and strong shareholder support from the likes of Kirkland Lake Gold, Novo is well on its way to establishing itself as one of the top junior explorers and developers in Australia.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.